From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of March 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. As we close out our program, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the weather forecast. And along the way, we'll get an update about the acre program. Many have been asking questions such as, is this the year we should sign up, and when and how do we make that decision? We'll talk with Gary Schnitke very briefly this afternoon about that product. Acre this afternoon during the Closing Market Report right here from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago. They settled up on a Thursday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat bit, and these are closes in the March. 683 and a quarter, up 7 on the afternoon. The May at 688, up 4 and a quarter. And July wheat at $6.99 and a half in Chicago, up 10 and three quarters. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price there at $7.31 and a half, finished down 19 and a quarter cents. March corn futures, 712 and a half, up 4 and a half. The May at 690 and a half, up 2. July at 667 and a half, down 4 and a quarter, and September at 564, 3 and a quarter lower. These in the corn pit, December contract, or your new crop, 3 cents lower at 541 and a quarter a bushel. In the March corn of next year, 552, down 2 cents. March soybean futures, $15 and 3 quarters of a cent, up 16 and a quarter on a close. The May at 1471, a nickel higher. July soybeans at 1452 and a half, up 3 and 3 quarters, and the August contract, $14.14, up 5.5. November beans, $12.71.5, down 7.25. January futures of next year, $12.79.5, down 2.75. Bean meal at $4.36.50, up $2.30. And the bean oil at $50.14, 8 cents higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the nearby June contract at $124.45 on a settlement price, up 50 cents. The August at $125.25, up 45. April feeders at $142.62.5, settled 37.5 cents higher. The May contract there at $144.92.5, 35 cents higher. Lean hogs in the May contract at $89.90, up $2.55. The June at $92.02.5, that's up $2.57.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. The April at $91.46 a barrel, up $1.03. RBOB gasoline at $3.12. That's just about 0.4 of a cent lower. Ethanol at $2.43 and 0.4, up 3 and 0.4. And the natural gas on the day at $3.58 and 0.2, 11 and 0.2 of a cent higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.97 and 0.6, just about unchanged. And the gold at $1,575.10 an ounce, up 20 cents. The U.S. dollar at 82.08, down 0.37 for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says this afternoon we'll be seeing cloudy skies with a high of 37 degrees on a north wind at 3 to 5 miles an hour. And then tonight it'll turn mostly cloudy with a low of 22. The east winds will come at 6 miles an hour. And Friday, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high of 43 degrees on a southeast wind at 5 to 9 miles an hour. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 29 degrees. On Saturday, sunny, a high of 52. Saturday evening, showers are likely after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 42. A chance of rainfall at 60% Saturday night. Sunday in the area, showers will continue. It'll be cloudy, a high of 54. Rain into Sunday evening with a 36-degree low. And Monday, the rain continues. It'll be cloudy and 42. Monday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy and 27. On Tuesday, partly sunny and 42 degrees. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, 27, and Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 42. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It is Thursday, the 7th day of March, 2013. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Dan Zwicker. He's from CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and one of the many analysts that joined us on Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. For our all-day agricultural outlook, we've begun to post some of the videos from that outlook, complete videos of the panels. The soybean panel is up, the cash grain panel is up, and over the next several days, we'll post the rest of them. They're at willag.org. So if you were there and you want to see something again, you can do that. That might be dangerous if you were there, but you were not there, but you'd like to see them. You can also do that. Hi, Dan. How are you this afternoon?
Doing fine, Todd.
Hey, you're traveling as much as I am. Actually, you travel a whole lot more than I do most of the time. You're where today? Not in Mandeville.
I'm just outside of Dubuque, Iowa. I had a meeting with one of our facilities up in Fayette, Iowa. We've got a big facility up there and had a big group of farmers here this morning and then had dinner. And now I'm on the way back to spend the weekend with my father in the south of the Quad Cities area.
Oh, in God's country there, south of the Quad Cities. Whiteside County, is that right? I can't quite remember.
Mercer County. That was a county that didn't get no grip payment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but you had really good yields.
Yeah, we had 180 bushel average, so we were definitely blessed. The rains came at the absolute right time. I had a couple of those July rains. They weren't real big, but they came at the right time. And for the most part, I think the family farm went way over 200 bushels. But it was just one of those years. And my grandfather used to tell me it's because that's where the river goes east and west. That's the only place along the Mississippi River where it goes east and west, and then it curves straight south. And for some reason, that bend in that river, he says, we always end up with the rain, even in dry years. So far, he's been correct.
well, that's kind of logic that you just can't argue with, I don't think. So, good for them. Hey, when you talk to producers further to the west, on the other side of Des Moines, further to the west in Iowa and Nebraska, parts of Minnesota, the latest drought monitor that came out gave us a line, actually, that runs maybe from Moline to Lubbock, Texas, or something like that, where they're just a whole lot drier than we are that in our part of the world here in Champaign-Urbana. How dry is it, and how concerned might they be?
Well, they're concerned about like anything. I mean, a year ago at this time, none of the maps indicated any kind of drought. I mean, everything was generally normal except for Texas. It's always one day away from a drought, or a half a day away from a drought, I guess. But they are concerned. They know there's still time for a spring weather pattern to come into place and maybe help bail them out. But there is no doubt about it. People are biting their fingernails all along the plains. You know, Oklahoma and Kansas picked up some moisture, but it was snow and not a lot of moisture, but at least it was better than nothing. But when you get north into Nebraska and Dakotas, and then you get into Iowa, and even you get into a little bit of this northwestern Illinois, it's worrisome, but I don't think anybody's totally ready to panic. But I mean, farmers are not in the mood to sell these prices, especially after the break that we saw yesterday. We're below the insurance average, so I think market at this point anyway, unless it attracts farmer selling, is going to have a hard time going down until we get further down the road, Todd.
Do you want to play the old and the new crop differently yet, or will they still track pretty close together for a while?
Well, futures is going to be tricky, and I've mentioned this before, is that the index fund money is leaving, and So it's going to be a cash market, I think, in the old crop. You know, your big processors are paying record level basis levels on top of May futures. And I think that is what's going to be the key this year, is going to be basis is going to distribute the supply or end up rationing the supply, at least up north here. We don't know exactly how many bushels we have to finish the rationing process until we see the stocks report, but that's going to do all the work. Is going to be the ethanol industry and your big processors, whereas futures can still catch on fire, but without that big speculative enthusiasm and the forward looking of a growing demand base, it's going to be real hard, I think, to excite the futures market. So the old crop market is going to be pretty well driven, I think, by basis levels.
What, if anything, do you suppose we should make of Poet's announcement that it will be purchasing soft red winter wheat? And it was clear that it was soft red winter wheat for its ethanol plants. And there were two things there. I think most of Poet's plants may be west of the Mississippi River, and most of the soft red winter wheat is east of the Mississippi River. And I wondered what you're thinking about that might be.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Andersons have at least tested that or may be still doing it. I think they were doing some of that maybe even last year.
What's possible to do?
With a small percentage. I think it's just part of the whole process of trying to stretch this year's corn crop as far as it can be stretched. I think, you know, that is what it's telling us. We don't necessarily know how far we need to stretch it until we see that number. But, the basis levels tells you that cash corn is real hard to come by. And it's going to get worse as we go forward. Now, I was in an area this morning that up in northern Iowa. Of course, farmers have grain up here. They're all waiting on river opening. So there is going to be some new inventories begin to come in. But, Cedar Rapids is a big buyer of cash corn right here in this eastern Iowa area, and some of their bids are ridiculously high compared to what historical averages would tell you. But I think the Poet announcement just tells you that they're looking at ways to extend the supply of corn as far as we can go, because unless something happens, unless USA finds corn or otherwise we begin to import some corn into the United States from Brazil later this summer, somewhere in here we're going to run out of corn, and all your ethanol plants are probably going to have to shut down for 30 days.
Well, on that note, there is a difference between running out of corn and what USDA might say is it left at the end of the year, and you're not convinced that it's near, will end up near the 632 or something million bushels that USDA currently has in its mix, and we'll learn more tomorrow about those numbers,
no,
I suppose.
No, I'm not convinced on that. I mean, if we would end up with that kind of number, that tells you everybody's basically shut down and waiting on new crop supply. Now, my guess is that you might see that number rise a little bit tomorrow, because I do think there's room to whack 100 million off of exports. Now, how they distribute that, whether they put some in feed and put some in ending stocks, but the way export sales are going, they could whack that at least 100, I think, pretty easy, and they might even add 50 million import or 100 million import. They could maybe do that to kind of loosen up that balance sheet. But I don't look for any dramatic changes until they see what that number is, see what the implied feed disappearance is for the first half of the crop year. We only know what it was for the first quarter, and sometimes those numbers can be distorted.
Dan, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana, for his office space. Today it came to us from Dubuque, Iowa. Our thanks to him for joining us at our All-Day Agricultural Outlook earlier in the week on Tuesday. We're at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you'd like to see some of that, we'll be posting videos to our website at willag.org. In fact, two of them are already there, the soybean panel from the morning and the cash grain panel from the morning. Just a couple of moments, Dave Dickey will be here. He'll help us take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In agricultural news, retailers are reporting modest sales gains for February. Overall, 15 retailers reported today that revenue at stores open at least a year, a key indicator of retail health, rose an average of 1.7%. Costco Wholesale Corporation reported strong sales, but several other chains, such as Ross Stores Incorporated and Fred's Incorporated, posted declines. The European Central Bank cut its forecast for gross domestic product in the Eurozone today and said that risks to its new estimate remain tilted to the downside. The ECB now sees the economy shrinking by about 0.5% this year, a downward revision from 0.3%. The European Central Bank also lowered its forecast for next year to a central estimate of 1% growth compared with 1.2% previously. The ECB left unchanged its forecasts for inflation in the next 2 years at 1.6% and 1.3% respectively in 2013 and 2014. Smithfield Foods reported a 3.2% increase in its third quarter earnings based on improved sales of packaged meats, which offset declining fresh pork sales. For the quarter ending January 27th, Smithfield reported a profit of $81.5 million, or 58 cents a share, up from $79 million, or 49 cents a share a year earlier. Total pork sales edged up 0.3%, reflecting a 4.5% decline in fresh pork sales and a 4% rise for packaged meats. The hog production segment's sales jumped 10%, while the international business's sales were up 9.1%. A winter storm in Washington, D.C. is keeping DTN reporters from getting to the Capitol to report on this week's USDA report in the lockup. USDA is set to release its March estimates of supply and demand tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time. DTN usually sends reporters to the press lockup for the major grain statistics reports, which gives reporters access to the report numbers before they're made public. DTN says it will release an abbreviated report when the numbers are released at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. A couple of items to keep in mind. Our webpage is now filling up with videos from the All-Day Ag Outlook. If you went and you want to hear something again, or if you did not make it over and you want to see the festivities, you can do that at willag.org. I think there should be six videos at some point in the today, maybe over the next couple of days. But right now, the soybean panel and the cash grain panel are there. You can see them at willag.org. Another item that I hope may be of interest to you tonight will be in Jacksonville with one of our Will Ag Outlook panels. That at Hamilton's. It's sponsored by Farm Credit Services. You can find Hamilton's there in Jacksonville. Gary Schnitke will be with us, along with Jackie Vakes and Matt Bennett and Mike Zuzolo. That one starts at 7 o'clock for the panel. There is a meal beforehand. Just show up for that. It's at 6 o'clock at Hamilton's in Jacksonville. Speaking of Gary Schnitke, you know many farmers have been asking over the last week and a half, or so, about the federal government's ACRE program. ACRE, of course, stands for Average Crop Revenue Election. It's a farm program designed to level incomes from one year to the next, and corn farmers want to know if this is the year they should sign up for ACRE. U of I Ag economist Gary Schnitke has some advice on how to make that decision.
Roughly have to get below $4.60 price for ACRE to make a payment, and chances are that that won't happen. But if we do get prices down there, you'll be glad you had it.
By the way, that $4.60 average cash price decision point is for the entirety of the coming marketing year. It's the average cash price for the crop nationwide in the next marketing year. You have until June the 3rd to decide whether you think cash corn will be worth less than that or not, and if so, whether or not you'll sign up for the ACRE program.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
On this Thursday afternoon, time to check the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is on the phone line from Windsor, Illinois. He'll take a look at basis for us. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, really good. You see yourself on our website?
I clicked on it, and I got to watch it for a couple minutes before getting interrupted, so yeah.
Well, there you go. So people who missed the All-Day Ag Outlook can go see you, and others at willag.org. Tonight they can see you in Jacksonville along with Gary Schnitke. But right now, let's hear what you have to say about the cash grain market, please.
Well, you know, right now there's not a whole lot of movement here locally. We're shipping some beans out still, and there's been a couple of decent basis levels. Corn has backed off just a hair, maybe, you know, with a couple of the major people that we deal with. But we're shipping most of our corn right now to the southeast, railing it down there. So that's where the main amount of our corn's going.
I mean, what do you think was the most important things that happened in Chicago at the CME Group today?
Well, you know, there's several different things, but I think one of the biggest things is we're looking at tomorrow. You know, there's several people kind of wondering what our stocks report's going to look like and see if there's going to be any changes. And I don't know. To me, I think that's probably the biggest thing today. It was nice to see a little bit of a stronger close, I guess, if you will, there for a while. We were trading these corn down 5 cents, and there were some guys getting nervous, you know, that I talked to. But be able to close that thing a little bit better, I think it gives us at least something not to be too worried about overnight.
WASD figures are due out tomorrow morning at 11. That's at the noon hour, I suppose. We'll have more on that during the closing market report. They could change a few things. Do you think the export numbers will change very much for corn?
Well, I have to think that they're going to have to drop them some. I just don't see any way around it. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with it because, you know, the cheaper corn gets, you know, obviously the more exportable it is. But, you know, we got South America. They're going to be willing and ready to export a fair amount of corn again. And, heck, they've exported into our country. So it's something that we have to keep in mind.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn 713, fall 517. Cash beans, $14.93, and fall, $12.48.
All right. See you in a couple of hours.
Yep. Thanks, Don.
And that's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report, and we'll be headed towards Jacksonville by about 4 o'clock this afternoon for a 6 o'clock meeting there at Hamilton's. If you want to come over, it's open. We're having supper, and then the meeting starts at 7. Stay with us. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
It's National Crown Roast of Pork Day. Cultivation of pigs dates back to at least 5,000 B.C. It is believed pigs were domesticated from the wild boar in either China or the Near East. In 1493, Christopher Columbus loaded hogs into his ship, crossed the Atlantic, and introduced them to the Americas. Until the 20th century, pork in the U.S. was traditionally an autumn dish, coming to the dinner table after fattening during the summer. By the way, pork is the most widely eaten meat in the world. On this day in agricultural history in 1804, John Wedgwood founded the Royal Horticultural Society. The Society's first garden was in Kensington in 1818. In 1849, Luther Burbank was born. He developed many new varieties of fruits and vegetables, including the Burbank potato, the Shasta daisy, over 100 varieties of plums and prunes, and 10 varieties of berries. By the way, the Burbank potato is the most widely cultivated potato in the U.S. McDonald's French fries are made exclusively from the Burbank. In all, Burbank developed over 800 strains and varieties of plants over a 55-year career, including a spineless cactus used for cattle feed. And in 1914, the Coca-Cola Bottlers Association was formed. Coca-Cola was born in Atlanta, Georgia in 1886. The first newspaper ad soon followed in the Atlanta Journal, inviting people to try the new and popular soda fountain drink. By the way, sales during the first year averaged 9 drinks a day. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, on this Thursday afternoon, let's look at the weather forecast. Meteorologist Peter Levitt is on the phone line. Pete, let's start with what we think might be the dividing line based off the UNL drought monitor that runs kind of catty-corner across the Midwest from maybe Texas to Moline, Illinois.
Yeah, okay. The drought monitor, the main areas of continuing drought are the Dakotas, Colorado, eastern Colorado, western Kansas, western Nebraska, well, most of Nebraska, actually, except the southeast corner, western Nebraska, and then down into the Oklahoma panhandle. Then there are a few areas of drought south from central Oklahoma into Texas. That leaves the improving drought conditions across most of the area east of the Missouri River Valley, except for northwest Iowa. East of those areas, they've had some precipitation, and things are on the improvement scale up there. Down in the southern plains, we have a little section from eastern Kansas southwestward into central Oklahoma that had quite a bit of snow. That will improve drought conditions a little bit. The question is it going to do much for the crop? And here it's the tillers that matter, and where are the tillers? There's a distinct low percentage of tillering grain from the planted crop in winter wheat belt, in those, especially in those hard drought areas. And we'll see what happens in the spring when we get some legitimate germination. But generally speaking, winter wheat germinating in the spring doesn't produce the very well, and so we'll see how that affects the crop later.
Right, and then about the rainfall here in our part of the world, how soaking has it been? How much of a recovery? Are there more storms on the way?
There are more storms on the way. The recovery is good. It improves to the west. There is no drought when you get to the Illinois River from there eastward. There is no drought left down in there. West of the Illinois River through to the Missouri Valley, you have drought, which is moderate, which is improving, and I think that will improve a little bit more during the next few weeks as we get these storms from the south. There's more on the way. We have not much going tonight. We've got some cloudiness, but that's about it tonight. And then we get some precipitation back in on Saturday. That will be mostly up north on Saturday in northern Illinois, and then swing to cover all of the state on Sunday as it into southeastern Illinois, the most of it up north again. That goes by on Sunday, and then on Monday it clears out again, but it'll stay cloudy. It'll stay on the cool side, it warms up a little bit late next week, but there's another system, a weaker one, going to come along at the end of next week. So it's just going to keep rolling into this wet March pattern that was pretty well forecast by all the medium range of forecasters, the extended range forecasters. So that's going to keep things on the upside in the eastern Corn Belt.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
That's my pleasure.
Agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.